We've been studying about the trials of Jesus. If you remember, we started, I said there were going to be six trials of Jesus. We come now to the third trial of Jesus, and he's already appeared before Annas, the former high priest, and now he's already appeared before Caiaphas, the current reigning high priest, and now he's going to have to appear before the Sanhedrin council for our third trial. So we're going to look at those scriptures. I'm going to begin with one passage, but we're going to use two or three more. If you'll turn with me to the book of St. Luke, chapter number 22, I'm going to read verses 66 through verse 71. We'll begin there, and we'll have some other related passages to look at as we study together. Luke chapter 22 and verse number 66. You notice in verse 65, it says, "And many other things blasphemously spake they against him," against Jesus. Then in verse 66, it says, "And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priest and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, Art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said unto them, If I tell you, ye will not believe. And if I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then said they all, Art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, Ye say that I am. And they said, What need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth." Well, now, the leaders of Israel, the leaders, the scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, the high priests, and all the leaders, religious leaders, have now convened all together, and they have convinced the general public of Israel that Jesus is the problem, that Jesus is the villain in all of these things. And they've gained the applause of most of the Hebrew people, and they greatly, you know, accepted all the applause of the Hebrew people. They had so cleverly covered their tracks so that most people didn't even see their sins. Now, they devised a conspiracy, if you will. I know there's a lot of good names about things, but conspiracy is a good word. They devised a conspiracy here to destroy an innocent person. And the Hebrew population of the Jews, they never really realized the blessings that they missed by killing their Savior. If it hadn't been the other way, what might it have been? But you see, this is God's doing, and this is God's plan, and it's right on schedule. Well, few things in life, if you just think about life in general, few things in life are probably no more frustrating than a person suffering because of an injustice. I'm talking about alone and even unnoticed. That's where you see Jesus right here, standing before this council now, alone and unnoticed by the most. Now, in this third trial here, Jesus, Peter's still standing afar off to watch what happens, watch what transpires in this third trial of Jesus. What he was actually watching was this. He was watching a mock trial that was leveled against the most innocent person who has ever lived. No one has ever been more innocent of these charges than was Jesus. And look on the other side. Probably no one's ever been more hypocritical, corrupt, and sinful as were the chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sanhedrin council. Now, I want us to go into this third trial. Three things I want you to see with me tonight. I want you to see the charge they made, the verdict they brought, and a sentence they pronounced. Let's look at those three things together as you see this courtroom scene now with the Sanhedrin council calling Jesus before them. I want you to look at another passage with me. This relates to Caiaphas before the council meets. Look in John chapter 11 The Gospel of John, chapter 11. The Gospel of John, chapter 11. Look at verse 47 through verse 50. John, chapter 11, verse 47 through 50. Probably as much as 2 to 3 years prior to when Jesus is now standing before the Sanhedrin Council, Caiaphas had made a prophecy that he had no idea that he'd be the one of the ones who'd fulfill it. In John 11, look at verse 47. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, You know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. Little did he know that's exactly what was going to take place in 2 to 3 years after that. Now, let's go back to the trial scene. We're going to look at now the charge that they're going to level against the Lord Jesus. Now, by the time the sun had begun to rise, the Sanhedrin Council had adjourned, and now the dawning of the morning was coming after night, and the sun was rising the next day. They had convened and found the charge that they felt like they really needed to sentence Jesus to death. That charge they were going to level against him was going to be that he was a treason against the nation of Rome. So he would be a treason, charged with treason. Now, they so feared Jesus that they knew if there was a word spoken in the general public beyond here, that Jesus' words might spark a rebellion. And Caiaphas had already said, years ago, if we're not careful, we let him go, then, they're going to bring down Rome upon us. He was afraid that that would spark a rebellion, and then Rome would come in, and they would step in, and they would take away their place and the nation. It would be a terrible thing. So they're going to charge Jesus now with insurrection, you might say. That was going to be their charge that they leveled against him. And they knew that if they could convince the Roman officials that Jesus was guilty of being a traitor, or he was guilty of being an insurrectionist, then Rome wouldn't have any problem killing somebody that they thought might be a threat in any kind of fashion to Rome. So they'd be glad to get rid of the person or persons who might be responsible for an insurrection. So they all agreed to the trial prior to coming out and meeting. They all agreed, we're going to charge Jesus with treason. He's an insurrectionist against Rome. So that's a charge that they now are going to level against Jesus. Now, let's look at the verdict. From the charge that's revealed, you see the verdict that's delivered. In Luke chapter 22, we just read those verses. With a specific charge revealed of treason, the verdict was already decided. Jesus was guilty of treason as far as they were concerned. Now Caiaphas, the ruling high priest, called the Sanhedrin Council together early that morning. He was just waiting for an opportunity to do that. So he calls the council together now to the official place of judgment. Now, it was a kind of a semi-circle like our courtrooms are sometimes set up with a judge sitting behind a bench. It's a semi-circle kind of room. It was at the east end of the temple near the royal portico. And it was made in almost semicircle type council. Made like in a design almost like the old threshing floors used to be in the Old Testament when they'd gather the, winnow the grain, take the chaff from the wheat. Those rooms were built in semicircular fashion. So here, their premise was this is where the truth from error would always be settled at this judgment hall. And so they bring now, the Sanhedrin Council meets there. They bring Jesus to this hall. Now, here, all matters of judgment concerning the Jews was to be settled. And here it would be done in the eyes of the general public, sort of like our courtrooms today. When court trials take place, the public's invited many times, most often. They can come into the courtroom, sit down, and hear the charges, hear the verdict, see what takes place. So that's what they're saying here. They come to the royal portico, and they bring Jesus. Now he's charged with treason, the verdict. Notice something here. Finally, after all the things prior to this, finally now, in the daylight, as it should be, in the proper venue at the council where they met, it's correct, they should be there, before all the eyes of the general public, this third trial now actually begins. Still, look at this, still the leaders of Israel violated their own rules and their own laws. The Sanhedrin Council, who were to be the arbitrators, if you will, of truth, they were there to accuse the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, again, that was illegal. Not supposed to do that. They were to be the ones who would be champions for the truth. Here, they just want to condemn Jesus. Second thing illegal, there was no advocate. We'd say an attorney today. There was no advocate to appear on Jesus' behalf. No one was there. That also was illegal with the Jewish law. The trial now, this third trial, took place during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which was a part of the Feast of the Passover. They weren't supposed to hold court trials during these festival days. So now you see them breaking the law there. Well, they also made Jesus, the accused, testify against himself. So that also was still illegal. The actual purpose of this trial, this third trial, was nothing more than a show. Show before the general public of Israel. Well, the Sanhedrin Council only played out now at this trial, played out in public what they had already decided back there in private. So Jesus is called now to be questioned before the public. In these verses 22 of Luke chapter 22, verse 66 through 70, notice it again. Each time Jesus parted his lips to make a statement, it automatically reminded them of how they had violated their own laws and their own rules that they had made. Yet nowhere during this questioning did Jesus ever deny his claim to be the Messiah. Thank God for that. Jesus agreed to their assessment that he claimed his right to kingship, yet Jesus would not accept their implications that they added to his charge. Insurrection was never a part of the plan of the Lord Jesus when he came to this earth. Why did he come to this earth? He came to seek and to save those who were lost. That's primarily why he came in the beginning. He didn't come to have a count of treason or charge of treason, laid to his charge. He just came to save lost people. Well, because the council never attempted to get to the truth, that was to be the Sanhedrin's council. Primary objective was to seek out the truth. And I remind us again, they were to assume the accused was innocent until he was proven legally guilty. But do you see that here? No. They, behind closed doors in a closed session, already declared his charge against him. Now they come and lay the verdict against the Lord Jesus. In Luke 22, look at verse 71. And they said, "What need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth." Now, they say the verdict is guilty. He's guilty of treason. He's guilty of insurrection. And so there's a charge. There's a verdict. Now you come in a courtroom scene, you find the charges. You find the verdict rendered, and then you find the third thing, you find the sentencing phase. Now you see the sentencing phase rendered right here. By the end of this third trial, after contriving a suitable cause that would convince Rome that Jesus was a threat to them, and to kind of solidify the masses of the Jews, they felt now they had sought, they had got what they had sought against Jesus for a long time. They thought they had an ironclad sentence of death to Jesus. Now it would be sure, and it would be secure. Jesus had claimed to be the Christ. He was the Messiah the Jews had hoped for. And they would rid them of Roman domination. The leaders were quite sure that Rome would want to rid themselves of anyone who might be a threat to Rome's domination anywhere around the world, as far as that's concerned. So, if Jesus would be executed, the people then would come to believe that Jesus was nothing more than just another false Messiah. There had been many false messiahs come along the way, and they had just kind of quietened down after all this has taken place, and the Jews would just think, well, Jesus was just another, you know, false Messiah. It would prove to be the ideal situation they had waited for. This sentencing that they were going to bring forth. When they brought the sentence against Jesus to death, it brought together groups of people who couldn't even get along between themselves. It brought together the scribes and Pharisees. They were as different as much as night and day. They couldn't get along. They fussed and they fought all the time. Yet they come now together to help render the verdict, give the sentence of death to Jesus. So you find the Pharisees, the Sadducees, you find the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and you find also some of the zealots. These zealots were what we'd call today kind of underground terrorists. Such an unlikely group of people to ever get along on any one issue. Now they all come together and they render their verdict and they give the sentence, Jesus must die. That's what Pilate had said, Caiaphas had said, you know, several years before that time. Jesus knew all along he'd get no justice from the Jews or from the world for that matter. Jesus knew the world then and Jesus knows the world today. It's no different today than it was in his day. The world today is still governed by fallen people, by sinners. Most of them don't know the Lord. And that's what our ruling body many times is comprised of. So you'll never get true justice in this earth. Jesus knew that. He didn't expect that. He wasn't looking for justice in the Jewish court in any three of these trials. He knew he wouldn't get justice. So what did he do? Jesus just submitted himself unto the will of our Heavenly Father, and he submitted himself to God's will and to God's plan for his life. Now, Jesus had never spoken anything during all these proceedings. He had never spoken anything but the truth. And he made sure when he did speak that the truth was so evident that anyone that wanted to see the truth could see the truth. And those who wouldn't want to see the truth, they of course wouldn't see it anyway. So he always spoke the truth so that no one would be distracted from what the issue was really all about. Well, he committed himself to his Father, who would always judge every soul and every situation absolutely righteously. Now you find Matthew 27, 1 and 2 coming into play. Go back and look at Matthew chapter 27, verse 1 and 2. Matthew 27, verse 1 and 2. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Jesus' third trial now before his Jewish fellow men was now completed. They'd done all they could to assure that there wouldn't be any kind of wiggle room, so to speak. So they presented their charge, their verdict, and their sentence to Rome, that they would be sure that Rome would concur with them and they would swiftly issue through Roman authority the death sentence to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the next time we pick this up, we're going to see where he begins to appear now. Three more times. This is just three of the six. The next time he'll appear before Pilate, and then to Herod, and then back to Pilate again. So there'll be three more trials that Jesus is going to have to face before he's actually crucified. I wonder, have you really ever stopped and thought how many times Jesus was dragged from court to court to court, belittled, mocked, tortured, accused falsely, all the way through? Yet listen, beloved, he did it all for us. He went through these three trials with the Jews. He'll go through these three trials with the Romans. And he goes through the crucifixion and death and resurrection and ascension. All of this was done by our Father's plan to save your soul and to save mine. Isn't that wonderful? Now begin to study on ahead of us and look, and we'll see how he's treated pretty much the same way with the Romans as he was with the Jews.